A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy Saturday, everybody. Happy Saturday, Betsy. Did you have a big Memorial Day weekend?
Well, I didn't do much.
Well, you know what I did? Do you want to know? I'm very excited to tell this.
Okay.
I'll keep it short.
Okay.
Because it's A, profoundly gross,
oh.
And B, we've got other more important things to talk about.
Okay.
Anyway, very quickly.
Yes.
My dog, Maggie, ate a hair scrunchie.
Yes.
You know, one of those little things that the girls put in their hair?
Yes.
Anyway, she pulled it out of one of the kids' hair when they were playing and gulped it down before we could do anything about it. So we spent the next few days waiting for its return, if you know what I'm saying. Because Maggie already had internal issues once from eating something she shouldn't have, and she had to have surgery.
Right.
She had to go for a week to MSU. She cost us a lot of money.
Yeah, that
for
was
a free
like,
dog.
What, 8 months ago?
Yeah, for a free dog, she's been expensive.
Uh-huh.
So every time she eats something,
right.
Terror
Panic.
Grips the family.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we waited and waited. Guess what came back on Memorial Day? We
Yay.
Wanted to let off fireworks.
Uh-huh.
It was funny, though, because we found it. You know how hot it was?
Yes.
My son calls me over. I was mowing. He says, Dad, look at this. And we're all huddled on the edge of the road because that's where she does this.
Yeah.
Looking in this bag. We're all hunched over around it. Cars are going by. They know what we're doing. We didn't even stop to think how crazy that looks.
Well, yeah, especially in that heat because it had to smell awful.
Five of us, huddled around it. Every now and then the breeze would kick up and, oh, man.
The gagging, I'm
guessing.
It
was bad. That was my big memory this year.
Oh, see,
Memorial
all I
Day.
Did was wash the dog.
Yeah, that's not nearly as fun as
no,
mine.
No, not nearly as
all
fun.
All right, so that's what I had.
Yeah.
I guess I'm done for the day.
Well, thank goodness, because we actually do have a lot of ground to get covered today. So let's get started. And today we're actually going to be speaking with George Clark from WMGB Home Improvement about all of the things that you need to know regarding egress windows.
And we've also got, I think, it's going to be a really fun segment about how to paint tough-to-reach areas in a bathroom.
Yes.
That should be good fun.
There are many of them, and a lot of people have struggled to paint behind the toilet.
If you've ever struggled to paint behind the toilet, you do not want to miss this because I have the answer.
Why does that not surprise
stay
me?
Stay tuned in.
Right. And in about 15 minutes or so, we've got another Betsy's Toolbox segment.
Boring.
It is not, because this time we're going to focus on drywall tools.
Oh, and that's just, woo!
It is, because
drywall tools.
Drywalling is not fun, but these tools will make it easier.
They will make it better.
Yes.
And I'm sure you will carry your weight and make that segment
absolutely.
Everything it can be.
Oh, absolutely.
But first, let's talk about me. And I want to talk. No, I do. I want to talk about one of my favorite pictures ever.
Okay.
It's me from the early 70s.
Okay.
Now, I was a little nugget.
Yeah.
And my
Nothing
high school.
Nothing has changed.
Yeah, my high school senior picture. I'm a little nugget.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, I was quite cute. I'm very red-faced. I'm not sure why. I put
Maybe
the picture
you were
up
crying.
In our show notes. I might have been crying.
Yeah.
Anyway, not the point. The picture's in our show notes. You can check it out. The point of the picture is this. I'm going to describe it for everybody who can't see it. I am standing there, probably 2 years old.
Okay.
And I am wearing a really, really short red jumper thing, like little red short shorts with suspenders,
yeah.
A red, white, and blue striped shirt.
Mm-hmm.
In the background, just behind me, sitting in some really, really funky chair,
70s chair,
is my father. And he has red, white, and blue plaid pants.
Yeah, you guys were so coordinated.
And a red blazer.
Mm-hmm.
He is carrying a little ball with a star on it. It looks like the circus came to town.
Yep.
It's the 70s, and it
just
screams the 70s,
oh,
doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And, you know, certain fashion items or other items in our homes instantly date an era when you see them. So,
well, fashion certainly does.
Oh,
bell bottoms, my plaid pants that we were just talking about.
Or my leg warmers and the lycra pants from the 80s.
Yes.
Yes.
Hairstyles, mullets.
Oh, please,
big hair, the 80s big hair.
Yes.
Greased hair, I'm thinking 50s.
Yes.
Man buns.
Yeah, those are very popular today.
Yeah.
You're just jealous you don't have one.
I can't pull it off.
No.
And in the home improvement world, the man bun of the home improvement world, popcorn ceilings.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
Yeah, it
These
really is.
Things were so popular in the 50s,
yeah.
And tons of houses have them.
Mm-hmm.
And about one out of every 1,000 people likes it.
Yeah.
999 out of 1,000 people hate the look. And it's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. A lot of houses have it. The problem is it's dated, it's dirty, and it's potentially dangerous. Now, it's dirty because it collects all those dust and cobwebs, and you just can't get it clean.
You can't get it off. You try to wipe it, and...
And all the ceiling starts to crumble on top of you.
Terrible. I hate that. And potentially dangerous, we should point out that asbestos was used in the manufacture of these things until 1977.
Yeah.
And then... The people were allowed to use up their stock yet. So it could be mid-80s before this stuff was finally out of the system.
Right. And because of all of those things, a lot of us want to take that down. We don't even want to deal with that anymore. So there are two main methods of getting rid of it or making it so you can't see it. The first one is to scrape it off. And the second one is to just cover it up. And that seems easy to me.
Well, it does. But scraping it off is actually probably the more common route that people go.
You hear a lot of people doing that.
Certainly, if you Google it and look around, you're going to find out that's the recommended method,
right?
You know, to get rid of it.
Yep.
But it's not my favorite. It's not your favorite. We've talked about this.
No.
And we've got a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. First off, let's just hit them. The asbestos factor.
Yep.
Now, your ceiling might not have asbestos in it, but you cannot start scraping it until you know for sure that it doesn't.
Right.
And if it does, you've got to take all kinds of safety procedures and precautions to make sure everybody in your home is safe.
Right.
So you first got to scrape a little bit and send it off to the Department of Health. You got to find, you know, the Department of Health in your area, contact them. You can send it to them. They'll test it for you. It could run anywhere, you know, up to $50 or more.
Right.
Just to have them tell you what's on the ceiling.
Right. Because as you mentioned earlier, your house doesn't have to be from the 70s in order to have this. Because you saw a story online where someone had a house from 1986 and
86.
They thought...
She figured she was fine.
Right. And obviously she wasn't otherwise we wouldn't be talking about it.
She got into the project and noticed something that made her question it. She sent the samples off.
Yep.
Turned out it was asbestos. And now she was freaking out because she'd worked with it.
Right.
You know, got half the ceiling down.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a house from 1986. So you really can't take it for granted. And if your house is pre-77, you could even have lead paint on top of it all.
Yep.
So you've got
a double whammy.
Right. So that's just the one issue.
Right.
The other thing, even if it is safe, it's really messy to get that stuff down.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of work, a lot of scraping. It's all going to fall on the ground. So a lot of drop cloths and things like that to cover things up.
Right.
It can really be a pain in the neck. Now, if it's unpainted.
Yep.
It might come off relatively easy if you missed it with water and stuff like that. But think about it. I read one recommendation on a website where they said use a garden hose on mist, to just lightly put water on the ceiling. Yeah, I'm going to spray a garden hose in my living room. That just seems like trouble. That's the kind of thing that even I sense as being problematic.
Right, exactly.
So, that's one issue. But if it has been painted before, it's going to be even harder to get down.
Yeah.
Because the paint seals it up to some extent and almost forms a shell over it. And it becomes very complicated to scrape off.
Right. Well, and once you get that ceiling down, who knows what you're going to find underneath? You know, the solution to problems in a ceiling used to be to put popcorn over it so no one would have any idea.
There might be a very good reason why there's a texture on your ceiling. So you could scrape it off and find what's underneath is not very good at all.
Right.
So those are the reasons we don't like scraping it off.
Right. Yep.
Covering over it.
Yes.
The next option.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a lot more work. Seems more expensive. But I think that's completely false. I think this is the way to go.
Right. There's less mess from all of the scraping. There's no safety concern because you're covering over any potential asbestos. So that's not a concern.
And that's important to note. When we talk about asbestos being potentially dangerous, don't freak out if you're leaving it alone.
You know,
if you've got that on your ceiling and you don't mind it and you're leaving it alone, you're fine.
Right. Yeah.
It's when you disturb it and start putting the dust in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So if you cover over it, you don't have to worry about it being there.
Right.
It's gone. It's not going to get into the air, into your lungs or anything like that. So you're fine.
Right. The other good thing about it is it actually gives you a better look when you're all done. It's a better finished looking ceiling than scraping it off would be.
Right. You're going to have a brand new ceiling. You're not going to have to deal with whatever was left behind.
Right.
And a lot of the times, if you've ever scraped wallpaper off, if you've ever stripped that, you know the damage that you can do to the wallboard just trying to get that off.
Right.
Same damage can occur trying to get that popcorn texture off.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you scrape it off, you could have a ton of patching to do. You put new drywall up, you've got a brand new ceiling. So that's why we think covering it over is the best way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of options here. You could do drywall. That's
yes.
what we mentioned.
Yep.
You know, just put it directly over the popcorn texture.
Right.
You can install it and finish it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's one option. If you're handy, that's the way to go.
Right.
There are places, a lot of people aren't aware of this, that will come and just mud it.
Right.
So you could
yep.
put the board up and have them come and mud mm-hmm. over it and do all the
That's
hard
the
part.
That's the hard part.
Right. Do the yep. artwork, basically, because
yes.
it does take, it's an art
yeah, it
to
is.
Make that ceiling look nice. Have somebody who's good at it come and do that.
Yeah.
You just put the board up.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a very inexpensive way to get a great looking ceiling.
Right. The other option is to install some sort of tongue and groove planking up there. You just have to install some furring strips up on the ceiling
mm-hmm.
And then you affix the planking to that.
Yeah.
The only thing that we would caution you about is scraping. Some people want those furring strips flush mounted to the ceiling and mm-hmm. they'll scrape the popcorn off. Again, just be aware of the asbestos. Now,
right.
one last quick option is to install tin ceiling panels. It'll give you a really cool, very popular look, and again, it's going to cover
You'll
over all of that.
Super fancy,
very trendy
compared to having a popcorn ceiling.
Ooh, absolutely.
It's just like wearing normal pants instead of plaid pants.
Right.
Yeah. You got to check out that picture.
Yes.
Don't let your house wear a fashion that puts it so out of style. You can take care of it and get rid of it. And whatever you put up there,
mm-hmm.
we've got a primer and paint or a stain and a varnish, whatever you need to make it look perfect.
Right. Now, speaking of drywalling, the idea of installing 4x8 sheets on the ceiling sounds terrible. Punishment types of work.
Punishment work. Children, install the drywall.
Yes.
That's your punishment
but
for
there
fighting.
Are tools that are going to help you install it and finish it with ease. We'll be back in a few minutes with a drywall edition of Betsy's Toolbox. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. It's time for Betsy's Toolbox.
Yes, that means I'm in charge, and you get to just sit there and be my helper today.
Okay.
Because you think the show's all about you, but not right now.
Okay.
It's my turn.
All right.
All right. So, because it's
wow.
my segment.
Yeah, okay.
Silence from the peanut gallery. Thank you. We're going to start with a very quick history lesson over here. In 1916, they came up with drywall. That's when it was created. And they fine-tuned it a little bit over the next 10 years or so. And the problem was builders were very hesitant to use it because they thought that it was just the cheaper alternative to plaster, which they
it
have
was.
Loved for generations. So
yeah.
why change it? Well, then World War II happens. And all of a sudden, there's a labor shortage. And there's a high demand for housing. And that means that they need inexpensive building materials.
Gotcha.
And drywall
oh,
just perfectly fit that
popular.
Bill. Yep, exactly. So now, I found this great story online. Some
okay.
guy was talking about his grandma. His grandma built...
Grandma stories are always good.
They are. His grandma, during World War II, put an addition on her house. And she had drywall brought in. And when the guys got there to deliver it, she asked them, well, okay, once I put it up, then what do I do? They said you
so
have to...
So she's going to put it up?
Yes.
Does she have that jiggle thing under her arm? Do you know how grandmas have that?
Hey, I got that. And so do you, I notice.
Oh, it is jiggling.
Anyway.
You think she had that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Anyway. Okay.
Anyway.
I'm going to picture her with that arm jiggle.
Okay. Well, just wait. It gets better. Because they say you have to mud it. And she said, well, how do you do that? And they said, you have to buy these special knives to put the mud on.
Was she really not wanting to spend more money?
Right. Because it's okay. World War II. And
oh, sure.
who wants to go and spend more money on things that you don't need? So she gets out her butter knives and proceeds to drywall mud
oh.
her entire addition.
And I bet
with
that
butter
jiggly
knife.
Thing was just a working overtime.
Probably. So
she butter knifed?
Yes.
Or used butter knives to apply the mud.
Yes. So now she has
that
this very
turned
unique
out really
texture.
Well. Is that what her grandson was
yes.
saying?
Yes. He said there's
Did
a very
Did he say how long
texture.
It took?
No.
That had to take forever.
I would guess so. Yeah.
Why not just run out and buy a putty knife?
Well, because of the expense, I would have to
wow.
guess. Well, and think about the labor involved. With spending hours with the tiny
the wrong
little butter
tools,
knife.
Really, is that where you're? I'm assuming
yes.
that's where you're going
yes,
with this. The wrong tools really can make a project last a ton longer than it needs to.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that had to take forever.
Well, and you get better results, because with the right tools, she wouldn't have had that funky texture.
No, but she probably got worked down that jiggle on her arm a
right,
little bit.
Probably. So we just talked about hanging drywall and putting it up on your ceiling.
On the ceiling in the last segment.
So,
which is no fun.
No.
But it is a good project.
Well, hold on. My first tool is
going to
help with that. Yes, it's a drywall panel lift. And you put the piece of drywall on there and it'll lift it up to your ceiling or the wall, whatever. You can rent these things for under $20 for 4 hours.
Are brilliant.
Oh, absolutely.
The first drywall job I did involved me having to put drywall on the ceiling.
Yeah.
I was working alone
and,
for the ceiling part of it.
Yep.
Dad helped me with the rest. Well, probably, I'm sure we'll be able to talk about that later because that was a nightmare. But anyway, holding that up and trying to get
it's
that
heavy.
Screwed in place.
Yep.
When I was all done, the guy at work who I had talked to about this, the entire project, when I was all done, he told me, oh, you should have just rented a lift. I couldn't believe he waited till then to let me know, but you could do it by yourself.
Yes, you absolutely can. So that's the first tool I would recommend. The next one is a Handy Mark drywall tool. It is brilliant.
My dad's name is Mark.
That doesn't
count.
He was
not handy with the drywalling.
Well, okay.
So this is not about my dad.
No, absolutely not. This little contraption just snaps right onto your outlet boxes and things like that. And then it has these little pins all down the sides, and you push your piece of drywall up against it, and it marks
Handy Mark.
Where your holes are supposed to be cut.
It is about my dad.
It is about your dad.
Because when we did the drywalling, he would measure. It was our first time doing it.
Uh-huh.
And we could never get those holes cut in the right spot.
A lot of people have that
problem. We had to keep making them bigger, and Dad's plan was to buy dinner plate-sized, you know, switch plate covers.
Yep. See, he could have just had one of these. They're about $12 and absolutely worth it because you don't have to keep doing that. Yeah. Another thing that everyone should have in their toolbox for doing drywall is a drywall screw setter bit. Now, this just makes it so that you don't drive those screws right through the drywall, which is prone to happen, let's face
these
it.
These things are very inexpensive. We bought I think we got four of them for under $4.
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like Betsy's saying, it countersinks the screws just perfectly.
Yes.
So you can mud over them.
Yep.
And it's perfect. I always end up driving several of them much too far because I'm very overzealous with my electric drill.
Yes.
Or whatever I'm using.
Yep.
So these would be a great thing to have. So inexpensive.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense not to have them if you're drywalling.
No, it doesn't. Another thing it doesn't make sense not to invest in is one of those drywall T-squares. Instead of just using a tape measure, a lot of people think, well, I have a tape measure, it's good enough. A T-square is going to give you a much straighter line when you cut. And if you get the full 48-inch or better one, then it'll go the full width of the drywall. So
perfect.
You're all set with that. Another thing we sell at Repcolite is called a dust eater. This is the biggest must-have because it will take all of that dust when you're all done drywalling. It will clean off all of that dust. It's a huge triangular dust mop head, basically.
Yeah, you put it on an extension pole and you can work it right over the, the wall. After you've sanded, it'll remove the dust. You can throw it in the washer, get it ready for another project. You could use it for cleaning even.
Yeah, spring cleaning, it does a great job.
I think they're $27, something like that.
Yeah,
and it
worth
will just,
the investment.
Yeah, you'll be using it indefinitely.
Yes, and don't forget, when you're all done with everything, make sure you're buying primer for your drywall. Don't just go straight
to
the top coat.
So that's your last tool is primer?
It is my last tool because, you know, people, especially on ceilings, just tend to go straight to the ceiling paint. Primer is so much less expensive, and it seals up that drywall so you don't have to do three coats of your top coat.
Now, all right, when we come back, if you have ever struggled and tried to figure out how in the world to paint behind your toilet without removing it, I have the answer for you.
Yes,
it is worth hanging around.
Yes.
That's coming up after the break. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, I don't know about you, but bathrooms for me are one of my least favorite places to paint.
Oh, yeah.
It's so tight.
Yep.
There's not a lot of space to work.
Yes.
They can be a real pain for DIYers to work in.
Yeah, they can be. And that's why there are some tools out there that can actually help make the project a little bit simpler in those hard-to-reach areas.
Well, tools, But let's be very specific. Some of these are create your own tools. One of them specifically is, it's my creation.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to share it with the rest of the world.
Oh.
So let's talk about some of those complicated areas.
Yeah.
And really, when you're painting a bathroom,
mm-hmm.
I want everybody at home to put your thinking caps on.
Okay.
When I would say, should I say, talk about a hard area to paint in a mm-hmm. bathroom, a complicated, tight area to get at.
Yep.
What is it? What's the number one complicated place to paint?
You can call my sister and ask her because she just asked me this.
She just called. People ask all the time, how do I paint behind the toilet?
Yeah, behind the toilet tank more specifically.
Well, yeah, the tank. Yeah. I like to think of the whole thing as the toilet itself.
Oh,
but
okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
We just removed my toilet, a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy was there helping, pointing out what I was doing wrong and things like that.
Yeah, that wasn't hard to do.
And one of the things we noticed when we removed it is there's this great big square on the wall that's unpainted.
Yep.
This is an age-old problem.
Uh-huh.
As long as there have been paint and toilets, people have been stymied. They don't know how to handle that.
Yes, but you have a great solution.
I have a solution.
Yeah.
It's the toilet tank behinder painting tool. Yes, I'm going to trademark that.
Okay.
Anyway, here's the deal.
Yep.
All you need are three little items, and you can create your own toilet tank behinder painter.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
So you need to get a Sure-Line paint edger pad replacement. Okay, that's the only complicated thing here. It's not complicated. We have them at Repcolite. They're very inexpensive.
Yeah.
But we've talked about an edger pad before that you would put maybe on an extension pole. You could use that to paint in a stairwell is where we specifically mentioned it. It's a little plastic tray on wheels.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-inch by 6-inch kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it will roll right up to your trim, and you can do all your cut-in work with it.
Right.
It takes a little bit of getting used to figure out how it works.
Yeah, but it works well.
Works really well. Mm-hmm. That's the paint edger.
Yeah.
You don't need that part. You just need the
replacement.
Yep. Okay? So you get that,
mm-hmm.
and then you get some double-sided tape or hot glue, if you've got a hot glue gun.
Mm-hmm.
And a stir stick.
Which are free at Repcolite with any purchase.
With any paint purchase, you can get a free stir stick.
Uh-huh.
Get a gallon stir stick so you've really got some reach.
Yes.
And then all you need to do is tape that little paint edger pad onto the stir stick or hot glue it onto the stir stick. And what you have at that point on is this brilliant toilet tank behinder painter. It will fit into a half an inch area.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to move anything. You don't have to take the paint, the tank off. All you do is get the pad covered with paint. Just brush some paint onto that and, you know, work it around on the tray until it's evenly dispersed on that pad.
Mm-hmm.
Slide it behind the tank, up and down a couple times, and there you go. Wham, bam, you've painted behind your toilet tank, and you are better than 99% of the other people out there.
Yeah, I will actually give you credit. Cool. That was a very brilliant thing.
If you Google how to paint behind a toilet tank.
Here it comes.
We are number one, at least right now.
Yes, on Google.
I'm very excited
about
that.
Yeah, it's that top little box.
Google it some more, and let's just keep it going.
Yes.
So that's one area.
That is one area.
Go ahead and do that. It really works. We've got pictures of what I'm talking about in our show notes. So you need to check it out. You will run into this at some point in your DIY life.
Right.
And this will save you some time.
Yeah. You know, another place that people have trouble with is right behind the faucet. Quite often you can't get a brush back there. And if you do, it ends up all over the
slobbering
back of the faucet.
All over the, yes.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Well, in rollers, I don't know that I've ever had a roller, you know, a big 9-inch roller
that
fits down in behind there. So that's something that everyone struggles with. And there's actually this great, I think they call it a bender paint pad. It's the same type of idea as what you were talking about. It's a really thin metal handle, basically, and it has a similar pad, except way smaller, and it'll fit right in behind
it's
that faucet.
It's made to actually paint the bottoms of doors.
Yeah, yep.
For the really OCD people who want to paint the bottoms
who lay on
of
the
their
floor
doors.
And look up at their door. Yeah.
Exactly. It's very inexpensive.
Yeah, maybe a dollar.
Maybe a dollar. Yeah, and like Betsy's saying, you just bend that little metal handle and that'll sneak right behind there.
Yeah, it works great.
Very similar to the toilet tank behinder painter that I was referencing earlier.
Yes.
So that would be an option. Now, if the faucet is far enough away from the wall, another great option that we should recommend is the Jumbo Coater from Wooster.
Yep.
It's a roller frame and a small low-profile roller cover.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, everybody we've all seen these things before.
Yes.
They're very common. Little 4-inch covers. The really cool thing about the Wooster one is that the roller covers all come in specific naps that match the larger roller covers. So you can do all this work and still keep the same pattern and texture that's on the rest of your walls.
Right. You know, that's also a great tool to use inside of cabinets, like for shelves and the back inside. That same roller is perfect for in those smaller spaces.
Right. There are all kinds of tight, hard-to-reach places when you're painting in a bathroom, pretty much anywhere. Mm-hmm. We can only cover just a few here. Remember, pictures of what we talked about are online at repcolite.com. And if you do run into an area where you're stuck and you're not really sure what to do or how to get at it, give us a call. Stop out at any Repcolite or Port City Paint store, or you can email Betsy and I at radio@repcolite.com and ask us. We've seen it. We can help.
Right. Now, if you've ever wanted to take a basement space and make it into a safe, legal, usable oasis rather than the dungeon it might currently be, you're going to need an egress window. We've got just the person to tell you everything that you need to know when we come back. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repcolite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, with all my kids, I would love to make a basement bedroom.
Are you going to banish one of them to the basement?
Well, I would like to reward them by giving them a space of their own. Right now, they're piled on top of each other. We crammed 5 kids into 2 bedrooms.
Yes.
So it's crazy. So I'd love to make a bedroom in the basement, but I know that my windows won't work for that because I've got those old ones, the things that they put in the 50s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't even know that they open. They just
look terrible. I don't think so. I think mine are like that. They don't open.
They're just spider webbed over and cracked and they're bad.
Dirty.
So I've got to replace them if I want a safe thing, but I really don't know a whole lot more about it other than just that I need egress windows to make that safe and usable.
Yeah. You know, I have listened to you whine about this for a very long time.
Yes, I have whined. A fair amount.
Yes. So today I have decided that
I think I call it whining.
Oh,
it was more bemoaning.
Right.
Bemoaning is manlier.
Not really.
Can we just say I bemoaned it?
Yes, you can say that, but I will tell the listeners it was absolute whining. So anyway, I decided that we should get George Clark from WMGB Home Improvement here to help you out and solve this problem for
you. Well, I appreciate that. Once in a while, you're selfless and intelligent.
Oh, I am that all the time.
So thank you for that. And thanks, George, for being here with us today.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Now, egress windows. George, why don't you just walk me through some of the different options out there and just some of the things that I need to know, and maybe that will help any listeners out there who are also in the same boat.
Sure, sure. Well, and the first and most important thing is that if you want to put a bedroom down there, you already know that you need one.
Yes.
Right?
And so I'm ahead of the curve.
You're ahead of the curve.
I'm going to check number one right
now. You got it. You're keeping track of his score, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I know
one
he'll
to nothing.
All right. Well, you know, in any case, so you do need an egress window, and there are a multitude of options. We have a lot of them because we do a lot of them, and we do have some options even for those DIY home, you know, improvement people, that they can do a little bit of the work. If they're up to, like, digging the hole, they can save some money. So the options of how we price things out are really tremendous.
Okay.
But we go everywhere from a really basic, keep it legal, minimum-based package to one that's got, you know, covers and grids and beautiful stone-looking surrounds.
And a hot tub.
Big slider doors. And yeah, you know.
Oh, really? Big slider doors?
Yeah.
I was busy
yeah.
making jokes. But
well, it allows you to have that basement or that living area just seem a lot more like it's not below ground.
Okay.
Right? And this is one of those unique home improvement projects that not only ensures that you're safe, but the return on investment on this one is just tremendous, because you're going to spend, you know, somewhere between that $35,000 and, you know, $55,000 or $6,000, depending what package you go to. But that now allows you to use that space in the basement as conditioned space when you sell the house or your house is valued. And that adds an awful lot of value. But, you know, there are some challenges that one faces when they are doing this, right? Mm-hmm. Where do we go and what do we do? And believe it or not, it's not quite as simple as you might think. You know, there's somebody coming in there and digging a hole and traipsing through your yard. And
I guess that's the thing that has me a little concerned, because you know, I've got a dog and she's done what she can to destroy the yard, but I'm fighting it.
Of course.
But I'm a little concerned about bringing equipment onto the yard.
Well, we have
what does it look like? What is installation like?
We have a small excavator, and we lay plywood down to minimize the
damage. Is that thing in the mall that you stand on and it takes you to the next level?
That's an escalator, not an excavator.
Oh,
excavator,
a little mini excavator.
I'm
going
to just adjust the score to 1-1.
You got it.
So
all
right. You've got an excavator. A hole digger.
Exactly.
A hole digger.
With wheels.
You've got to help me help him. You know
what
I'm saying?
There is no helping him.
All right. So anyhow, you know, that comes in on day one, and the hole does get dug. You do lose a little bit of the landscaping around the area that's decided to be affected.
Yep.
The next morning, the concrete cutter comes in and we cut the hole in your basement.
Okay.
In that same day, one of our guys shows up and he's going to be there and he's going to frame the hole out. He's going to install the window and seal it up. He is going to attach the well to the wall and seal that properly. He is going to put the drainage system in the bottom of the well.
Drainage system.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can see that there could be a potential for moisture problems or water problems.
Well, I was just thinking of all the rain that we get in the springtime, and I guess I don't know enough about these egress windows to know if they have a solid surface bottom or is it just dirt? Because I'm thinking all of a sudden you're living in a fishbowl.
Well, that's you kind of stole my favorite line. You want to be sure you're putting in an escape window, not an aquarium, right?
Well, yeah.
And in fact, it can be that way. And certain areas around Grand Rapids and West Michigan are heavy clay, highly susceptible.
My yard is, yeah.
Many are just solid pure sand, not a problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in that installation, you want to make sure you're dealing with somebody who's had enough experience that you're minimizing the possibility of that happening. So mm-hmm. part of the how things are getting installed is really important. And, in any homes that are built beyond the 50s and 60s, there was a code of a drainage tile being put in the outside of the house going mm-hmm. all the way around the footings. Well, when we do an egress, we make sure that we tie into that footing drain and that whole bottom of that thing becomes a drainage system to that drainage tile.
Now, what if the house is older than that and doesn't have that?
Well, then we are going to make sure, and we always look at this too, we look at the roof line and where the valleys come up and where the gutters are and where the downspouts are and what the natural runoff is of the yard we happen to be in or the neighbor's yard to see what that natural stuff looks like. Also, when we inspect the basement, we inspect it to see if there has been any water problems reported by the homeowners that are there. Mm-hmm. They may have an internal water remediation system in the house. In extreme cases, we have to put in a little sump pump on the outside to get rid of it.
Have you had times where you just can't install one? Or is that rare?
I'm going to say that's really rare. Now, we've had many times where we go out and repair. I mean, dozens and dozens of these a year. We go out and repair where people, you know, didn't have the experience and didn't do it right, and it's almost always water problems.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of those external features like no gutters and big roofs dumping on one spot and downspouts or a clay hill coming down into where we want to put it, a lot of that stuff can be preemptively taken care of on the front side. So, you know, one of the things that we go through is we really have an extensive process that is just tremendous on this. So the sales consultant comes out, meets with the homeowners, really help them decide on what package of stuff they want to do, what they want to do themselves, what they don't, can talk them through all the sundry options and whatnot. And we've got some really cool ones, even in the windows from a safety standpoint. But we're going to have a pro that's done 1,000 of these come out before the project starts and do a finalization. He is going to mark off where the hole goes. He's going to make sure that we pull permits. We call Miss Dig, has a great eye for where sewer lines are, electric lines are, gas lines are, underwater sprinklers.
I would love it if you didn't tap into my sewer line.
Really?
Because I don't want an aquarium filled with sewer water. That's the worst case scenario.
That can be problematic. And, you know, with doing thousands of these, I would tell you that we've almost seen everything. And, you know, sometimes...
Have you ever seen that?
Well, we have.
Ooh.
We have seen where there was a sewer line that we noticed in the house, but there was a second on the other side. And, yeah, you know, then you want to be sure you're dealing with somebody that when something like that happens...
Boy, I don't even know if I'd try to escape through the window if it was filled with sewer water.
Yeah, that would be a little grim.
Take my chances.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, no, thank you.
We're in the studio with George Clark from WMGB Home Improvements. We're talking about egress windows because I don't know a whole lot about them other than the fact that I really want one so I can turn my lower level into a potential bedroom. Now, let's talk about the costs in some of the little bit of time that we've got left.
Sure.
You kind of quickly said, how much did he say it was, Betsy? Anywhere from
$3,500.
About $3,500 to, I'm going to say $5,500. That's kind of the real sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. And okay.
So you might ask, you know, how do I get that $3,500 job, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it means that we've got to use a window that's going to be the size of that old crummy window you referred to earlier.
Okay, so a window.
Tinier.
So I'm going to have to go on a weight loss program.
It still meets all the guidelines and the code levels. You're going to have a really attractive metal painted base. If you're willing to dig the hole yourself,
yep.
Right? If you're willing to backfill it yourself. If you're willing to do some of the drainage system with us totally telling you what it's all got to be like and whatnot, you know, there's some savings that you can get in that. And many DIYers will want to take these projects on themselves.
Well, because digging a hole is really fun.
Oh, it's a blasting play.
On my list of fun DIY projects, digging is one of the top.
Yeah, I can see how Dan's going to do it. He's going to get his kids out there, and he's going to sit back with his lemonade and his sunglasses and watch them do it. Hey, dig
and my
deeper,
sun hat,
faster.
Because I don't want to get any sun on my very delicate skin.
Right.
Exactly. So you will help us make sure that we do it right, though.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if I don't want to do that, you'll come in and do the whole thing.
Come in and do the
and
whole
I'm still,
thing.
Then I'm still in the 55
100
range?
Yes, yep.
All right. George? Our listeners, if they have any questions about any of this, how's the best way to get in touch?
Please just check out WMGB.com online. You're also going to find just a tremendous amount of really valuable material around what we do with egress windows. I mean, there's a ton of stuff in there. Great testimonials from satisfied customers. You'll see the profiles of the guys we send out to do the work.
That's cool. And, I like that.
Yeah, and we're really proud of our staffs. I mean, these guys have done a lot of these, and they take a great deal of pride in what we do.
Well, I can't recommend it enough. I mean, every time we have George here in the studio, we get a ton of information as fast as possible. So really appreciate it. George, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Guys, this is always fun. Thanks so much for having me.
And that's it. Sadly, we're out of time. If you would like to relive the wonders of this episode or any of our past episodes, just go to repcolite.com, REPCOLITE.com, and check out the archives page. You can listen to this episode and past episodes to your heart's content.
Yes, there's also a lot of cool stuff there. There's some photos of our handy dandy, your handy dandy
toilet tank behinder painter.
Yes, that is
I'm gonna trademark that term.
Yes.
Just because I like to say behinder.
Of course you do. Yeah, there's also photos of some of the other things we talked about today. And there's something new up there on our homepage. We added it a couple weeks ago.
Really cool.
Right. It's actually to help you find a painting contractor. You just fill out this handy dandy form, tell us what you're looking to have a painter do, and we will get you some names and contact information for some painters in your area.
Right. And remember, whatever project you tackle, whatever struggle you have, whatever darkness you encounter in the paint world, we'll be here to shine a light. Any Repco Lighter Port City paint store is ready to help you. Let us help.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
You are being very dramatic.
Yeah, I lost my place in my notes.
Yes.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And carry the torch and light your way in and around any paint obstacle that you might ever encounter.
Are you going to wear a fedora? You should be.
I should be, but I'm not. I'm wearing my rubber underpants instead.
Oh.
You know, just in case. You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Thanks for listening.